Well, good morning, family. My name is Joshua Beierschmidt, and I'm a faithful follower and believer in Christ Jesus. And I love each and every one of you, and if no one has told you they love you today, I love you. Okay, today, family, I'm going to touch on three things, okay? First, I'm going to ask the question, who is this man named Jesus, right? The second thing I'm going to touch on is, what is this kingdom that he brings? What is this kingdom that he brought, that he brings? The third thing is, what does it look like to be a follower in this kingdom, okay? Let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We love you so much. And as we grapple today with who you are and what does it mean to follow you, we just ask that you open the hearts. You fill our hearts with your presence, your grace, your mercy. You open our minds to your love and your mercy. I ask a special prayer to those who are suffering right now with relationship problems, with physical problems, physical ailments. I ask that you come alongside them right now. You just wash those away right now. We can just think about you and your presence and your Holy Spirit and your healing presence. It's in your precious name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So if you were with us during the summer, Pastor Rob took us through a book called Colossians. And one of the major themes in this book is telos, complete in Christ. That's the Greek word for end goal. And the end goal is to be complete in Christ. So the church at Colossae at the time was undergoing a heretical attack called the Colossian heresy. And Paul's goal was to exalt Jesus Christ amongst a pagan nation. And the Colossians were asking the question, who is this man? Who is this man? You're talking about Jesus. What's going on here in Colossae? And so Paul wrote to the Colossians. He explained it very poetically in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 29. He says, for he rescued us. And I want you guys to focus on the kingdom language here. When I say a word, I'm going to try to emphasize it, okay? He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things come together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, resurrection, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds, I was there. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, sacrificial leadership, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly and established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel renewal, that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I, Paul, rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, you and me, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, suffering for the church. Of this church, I, Paul, was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, you and me, to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Jesus in you, of the hope and glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. With all what, church? Wisdom. that we may present every man complete telos in Christ. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to His power which mightily works in me, Jesus in you. So I want you, if you guys can do me a favor, if you guys are okay with it, I want you guys to amongst yourselves look to your neighbor and ask yourself, who is Jesus to you? Take a couple minutes, or however long. You guys can tell me, you guys can... Brian, who is Jesus to you?
He's my Lord and Savior.
That's right. That's right, amen. Stacy, who is Jesus to you? He's a rebel. Wow. Libby, who's Jesus to you? Lord and Savior. Thank you. Bill, who's Jesus to you? That's my salvation. Right on. My salvation. You guys mind? I wrote a couple down. You guys mind if I tell them to you? So answers I came up with is Jesus is Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, Emmanuel, King of Kings, Light of the World, Prince of Peace, the Good Shepherd. He's the way, the truth, the life. The Lord of Lords, the chief cornerstone. Some of us know that. Who knows that? Chief cornerstone. Come on. Okay. Holy and righteous one, the Messiah, teacher, the truth, the Word of God. So John Ortberg is one of my favorite pastors. He's a pastor of a Menlo church. He's a Presbyterian pastor. And he says in one of his books, it is in Jesus' name that desperate people pray, grateful people worship, and angry people swear. Check this out. Check this out. From christenings to weddings to sick rooms to funerals, in Jesus' name, it is in Jesus' name that people are hatched, matched, patched, and dispatched. Come on! All right. Okay. Yeah, I really like that's genius right there. Okay. So in Proverbs, we talked about wisdom, okay? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verses 2 through 6, there's a little part of this proverb that I really love, and it's going to set the tone for the rest of the sermon. It says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry out for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her wisdom as silver, and search her wisdom as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey Him? What is this upside-down kingdom that He brings, right? Blessed are the poor. We say blessed are the wealthy. What is this upside-down kingdom that He brings? Pray for your enemy? What? Pray for your enemy? That's crazy, right? I said, who is this man who steps on the scene and changes everything? So there's this man that I know who was in San Francisco, okay, in the Tenderloin. Okay, this is equivalent to being like in Skid Row in San Francisco. This man was beat down. He was tired. He was sick. He had an ear infection, okay, and he had a fever, and he was at the end of his run. He was homeless, okay, and he was on a mattress. They had a mattress, and in the streets of San Francisco, it's really nice. It's a business district, but, you know, there's sometimes, I guess you can find a mattress there. There was one for this man. It was discarded. One of those discarded mattresses that you would see on the side of the freeway or side of the road. You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, this man was sleeping on that mattress. He was homeless. And he had his earache and he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And this man, he made a prayer. He did a prayer. He said a prayer right then and there. He said, I'm done. Lord, take me. Take my will and my life. Guide me. I am done. And as he's praying his prayer, he hears...
get up.
And he's like, what is that? Who is saying get up on the loudspeaker? And a couple minutes go by, and he's laying there, and he hears it again, and he realizes it's a police officer telling him to get up. He goes,
get up.
And he says, I don't want to get up. I'm tired. He hears it one more time. He says,
get up.
So, church, I want to ask you this question, okay? Is God asking you to get up? Because that man got up and is chasing the Lord with all his heart. The reason why I know that, because that man is me. Is God asking you to get up? With all wisdom we ask, is this secular business or kingdom business? Is this sit down business or get up business? Come on. What does this kingdom business look like? Well, his kingdom looks like this. We say blessed to the wealthy, he said blessed to the poor. We say blessed to the strong, he said blessed to the meek. We say blessed to the happy, he said blessed to those who mourn. It's upside down, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, it's upside down. He said, I'll talk about love your neighbor, pray for your neighbor. He said, love your enemy and pray for your enemy. Come on. So at work, I'm at work, and in the morning, I got a lot of energy. I know it's hard for you to believe. All right? And my buddy Dorian comes up to me and goes, man, what do you eat in the morning, dude? And I said, the word of God. He said, that's it. I said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He said, I knew there was something different about you. He said that. He said, I knew there was something different about you. And then since then, we've had conversations about Jesus and on the job site, and the gospel's being spread on the job site. I know somebody back here who works for UPS who goes out and spreads the gospel. He is an evangelist like I've never seen, and I love that man with all my heart. His name is Mark. And you know what? He doesn't do it for gratification. He doesn't do it for notoriety. He just does it because that's what we're called to do. That's just what we do. That's just what we do. Okay, there's a woman in Samaria. Some of you may know this story. I don't know if I'm going to read it out of my Bible or read it on this paper. I'll read it on the paper. Okay, there's a woman of Samaria. And some of you may know this story. It's in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 34. So bear with me. It's a few verses. And I'm going to get some water real quick before I read this. So this is kind of taboo in Jesus' day. Let's set the backdrop. Men don't really go up to random women, and Jews don't go up to Samaritans. They just don't, okay? So there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? Since for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Amen. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? I hear some sarcasm there right there for a little bit. You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. It's living water. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way to draw. And she's still talking about water, right? And he said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship that what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is. And what? Now is. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Whoa. She was probably taken back, right? At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. And no one said, what do you seek? Or why do you speak with her? Right? The taboo is he's speaking with a woman and a Samaritan. Jesus came for the sick, the downtrodden, the outcast. He came for the others. So the woman left her water pot and went to the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." I love this, right? So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him food, or no one brought him anything to eat, did he? And Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work." How often, church, are we giving the outcast, the widows, the orphan, the aliens, the poor, the imprisoned, the addicted, their own identity? We are image bearers with identity in Christ. In the familiar words of Jesus, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me." Plato said, Plato's an ancient philosopher. Plato said, "It is in giving that we receive." Kingdom business also means forgiveness. Kingdom business also means forgiveness. Forgive as we have been forgiven. It means self-sacrifice. It means if you wish to follow me, you must deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. There's a paradox. You got to give it away to keep it. Right? So what, preacher? So what? What does this all mean? It means we got to get out of our comfort zone. It means we got to get out of our comfort zone. What are the minimum requirements to get into heaven? Jesus is Lord. Right? Making a decision that Jesus is Lord, okay? Well, there's three frogs on a log, okay? You guys heard this one? Three frogs on a log. One of them makes a decision to jump. How many frogs are on the log? Three, because he only made a decision. We're going to follow through with some action. If I make a decision to go shopping, guess what? There's not going to be food in the fridge unless I go shopping. Right? Once we make a decision to follow Christ, that is the beginning. And yes, that is your interest. That's your interest into heaven. Yes. But you know, faith without works is.
Yes.
Come on, you guys know this.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys know this, right? You guys know this. It's, and I don't have the quote on me. I was going to paraphrase it right now. But C.S. Lewis says, to answer this question is such a difficult question to answer, which is more important, faith or works? But it's more like asking which blade of the scissors is more important, right? You just don't ask it. By proxy, faith comes with works. It just does. It just does. So I encourage you. To get out there. I know as Northminster, we're in a unique place. We're in a unique position. We're on Union Avenue. We're going to bring Union back. Okay? I am on the streets, and I just feel, I can tell you this, and this is what I feel, and you guys may feel something different, but I feel revival coming up, baby. I feel it. I feel revival coming on in Bakersfield, but I also feel revival coming on in Northminster. Okay? And NPC revival. You know, I love it. And I thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. And I just want to end it in a word of prayer. And I just want to let you know that you are the hands and feet of Jesus. You're the hands and feet of Jesus. And we are to go out and do His work. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your glorious mercy and your grace. And we just thank you for family. We thank you for the church. We thank you for this calling, this unique calling you've given us to be a part of the Bible, to be a part of the story. To be continued, .. We are called to be the hands and feet of you, Lord Father. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. And we love you. And it's in your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.